Ready to change the calendar up here, and somebody already did it. I wonder who did that. You know, that's supposed to be for the deacons to change the calendar.
Kept waiting, kept waiting.
Oh, you kept waiting, kept waiting. Okay. Well, as you can tell, our Sunday school teacher is out of the way again. He gallivants around a lot anymore. He's preaching for a sister church. And while he's doing that, guess what? Anyway, we're going to continue on. We last two times I led the study, so to speak. We were in 1 Peter chapter 1. So this morning we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2, which goes right along with 1 Peter chapter 1. Anyway, these two chapters could have been put in any order. Chapter 2 could have been chapter 1, or chapter 1 could have been chapter 2, or whatever, you know. But this goes right along with chapter 1. Chapter 1 says a lot about what we should do and how we should be and how we should live our lives. And chapter 2 more or less talks about how we can do that. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Now, there's just a comma there, but I'm going to stop because we have to go through these things. Wherefore, that goes back to chapter 1. Because of all the things in chapter 1, or to get to where the things in chapter 1, we are to lay aside. What does lay aside mean? Does that mean put it on the table and you'll pick it up later? No, we need to get rid of it. This is something here, you know, we don't want in our lives. And it goes on, it says, all malice. Now, malice can mean a lot of things. It can just mean something terribly ornery, which I think it goes beyond that. In this here, all malice, things that you do intentionally to hurt someone. And if you think about it in our lives, you know, especially a Christian life, if you live and have some kind of a sin in your life, I believe it hurts the Father. And I don't know how long will he put up with that. We know that he is going to chasten his children when they have it coming. Sometimes you're going to go out behind the woodshed. And everybody uses that thing, woodshed. And 99% of the people that says woodshed, they've never been behind a woodshed. But laying aside all malice. You don't want to hurt a brother or sister in Christ. You don't want to hurt your neighbor who might not be a brother or sister in Christ. You want to be the kind of person that people like. To an extent. If they like sin and they want you to partake in sin, then no, you can't be that kind of a person. But you are to lay aside, put it away, and all guile. We have a lot of guileless people around anymore, and it seems like most of them are on television. Here I go with the television people again. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. We have important people. People who think they're important. And they will say whatever they think you want to hear to get you to follow along with them. They want to beguile you. That's what that word means, beguile. They want to fool you. And we ought not to be that way. All guile and hypocrisies. You ever have somebody call you a hypocrite? If not to your face, at least behind your back. I can guarantee you, if you're a child of God, it's happened. And people, they even got a little thing that they say. You know, the people that do this, you know, they're true hypocrites. They say, do as I say, not as I do. Now that is a hypocrisy. True hypocrisy. Lay that aside. And envies. Well, I don't have that much trouble with envies because I don't know anybody that's got a blue Corvette. So, but we ought to be happy instead of, well, you know, brother such and such, he got pizzas yesterday, and I didn't like that pizza. I want anchovies, which I noticed there weren't anchovies on any of the pizzas yesterday, but, you know, that was out of my purview. We had a fellowship meeting yesterday. Had a brother come and preach for us. Had a good time. Had a meal afterwards. And we talked about everybody. It wasn't anybody that got away. But we had a great time. And if you can have a great time in the Lord, whew, now that's something that you can't envy. I believe it's all right, you know, to want to have a life that you can live before the Lord and give him praise. But this is a different kind of envy in here. I know a lot of people envy me because I have such a beautiful wife. And I can't top that one, you know. That's... if you want something that somebody else has got just because they've got it and you don't, so what? I mean, you've got something they don't too. And I tell you, it's kind of aggravating, isn't it, when somebody wants what you got? Now, some people, they're flying high when they hear something is envious of you because of this, that, or the other thing. That's what a lot of them live for. They got the best job, got the best car, they got the best wife, got the best house, they don't know the Lord, they got nothing. Because when they go on out of this life, how much of that best stuff are they taking with them? They don't know the Lord, they've got nothing. Again, nothing to be envious of. And all evil speakings. Now that covers a lot, doesn't it? Now, I'm sure this is not what it's talking about, but you know, when me and Brother Steven are together, we talk about Brother Roger, and when me and Brother Roger are together, we talk about Brother Steve. And when any of us are together, including Brother Doug, we talk about him. So, but that's not what this is talking about. Evil speakings. Let's just use a few. Anything you say or to make you look better than somebody else. And one thing I do, but it's out of love. I know a gal, she's a sister in the Lord, and she's not very tall. I make fun of short people. And she probably almost assuredly makes fun of tall people. There are people that make fun maybe of my singing because I sing. Well, I make a joyful noise. I haven't learned to sing yet. There are some that can't hold a tune in a bucket, right? And there are people like me couldn't hold a tune in a wash tub. So be careful what you say. You don't want to say things to hurt somebody's feelings, just to hurt their feelings. But then again, if it's true, if you're talking to somebody about the gospel, you can't be worried that much about their feelings, can you? You need to tell them the truth. But this is evil speaking. Whatever you do that doesn't glorify the Lord, you know, you need to be careful. You don't want to say somebody just to bring somebody else down. You tell somebody they're a sinner. Well, that's true. I'm a sinner. Anyway, we better get on here a little bit. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Okay, so we got verse 1. Says, lay aside all these things. And it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, it doesn't say that you are newborn babes, does it? It says, as newborn babes. And what do newborn babes want besides getting their diaper changed? Anybody that has ever had children or been around children or heard somebody complain about children, they know at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, or 1 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, or 3 o'clock, whatever o'clock in the middle of the night, that little baby, that little child, is going to want something to eat. And he says, as newborn babes, whatever the time, as newborn babes, just like that, desire the sincere milk of the word. You know, they desire the milk. Just like them, we need to desire the milk of the word. And I can't recall any right out of hand, but you know, I'm sure I have heard somebody say, well, you know, I'm an adult. I'm not a babe anymore. Well, you know what? When I wake up in the middle of the night and I want something to eat, and I go in and fix me some toast with tons of butter and put strawberry jelly on it, what do I want with it? I want a glass of milk. Coffee's good, but milk is better with toast and jelly. And when you grow up, you still want some of that milk, don't you? What would you think of somebody that got up here and said, I don't want to hear gospel message because I'm grown up in the Lord? I believe I'd have to ask them to sit down because they don't belong up here. The gospel message should be welcome anytime. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a member, if you're whatever you are, whatever your position in the church is. Remember, you're a member of one of the Lord's true churches. His son came and died for your sins. He rose again that you might be with Father, the Father in eternity. All these things that he has done for you, and you're too important to hear it. No. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Turn, well, we probably won't have to turn, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Okay, the sincere milk of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We ought to always look forward to the times when we can hear a gospel message. That ye may grow thereby. Now, I have confidence that I have experience in this, that you may grow thereby. You know, you got to eat if you're going to grow. How do you eat? You start off with the milk. And then you get on to the other things, and finally you get up to the meat of the Word. Does that mean you stop drinking the milk? No. You just add something on with it. Verse 3. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Woo. Newborn babes desire to see milk, you might grow thereby. If so be, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I don't doubt that everyone here this morning has tasted that the Lord is gracious. And doesn't that leave a great taste in your mouth? Now, we're eating this morning, so to speak. We're eating in 1 Peter chapter 2, and a little bit later on, I don't know where he's going to preach, but the pastor's going to give us another meal. We're going to have two meals this morning out of God's Word. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, all these things, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow spiritually. And then, if you've grown spiritually, then you might know that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now, this first three words, to whom coming, it can be rearranged here a little bit. Coming to whom? And whom do we come to? As the Holy Spirit deals with us and gives us the ability to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are coming to Him. As unto a living stone, Christ is a living stone, isn't he? Anyway, turn to Matthew 16. In verse 18, yes. This is Christ talking to Peter. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, he's telling Peter, you're a rock. Yeah, you're a rock. But I'm the stone. I'm the rock that the church is going to be built on. And I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Wasn't he rejected of men? And, you don't say, well, you know, that was the Jews. No, that was us too. We don't have any standing that we can say, well, it's all their fault. Well, if Christ didn't die for your sins, then you're lost and without hope. I know he died for mine. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. You know, we have trouble. A lot of people have trouble anyway, not necessarily we, but believing in God doing the choosing. Now, God chose us before the foundation of the world. That's in his book. That's what he told us. But also, before the foundation of the world, Christ was chosen to come and bear our sins on the tree that we might be justified before God. And the last two words, and precious. I don't know about y'all, but if you got kids or whatever, they're precious to you, ain't they? They can be aggravating. You know what? Christ never aggravated his Father. They had perfect harmony, perfect communion from eternity to eternity. That's going to happen. It's going to continue on. Chosen of God and precious. Is Christ precious to us? We're precious to him. You think he would have come and died if we weren't precious to him? Look at all the things that he did. He came down from heaven, being in perfect harmony with the Father. No sin. He came down and he took on the form of a man and allowed himself to be tempted, yet without sin. He rebuked Satan every time with the word. Just like we should. Anyway, precious. I can't come up with a better word than that, can I? He is just so precious to us. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones. Yeah, we talked about Christ as the living stone. But also us as lively stones. We've been made alive. We were dead in sins, but we've been made alive. As lively stones are built up a spiritual house. We all are part of this church, right? Whatever part is not represented here this morning, you know, it's that part's a little weaker, isn't it? I've been in houses, well, lived in a house, had some pretty weak places in it. But this house here, although there's some places sometimes where things get a little bit weak, what did Christ say? It's going to stand forever. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lively stone and holy priesthood. When we pray, Aren't we going into the Holy of Holies? We're speaking directly to the Father, and His Son is making intercession for us. And I believe that we're led by the Holy Spirit, even though we don't know what to pray sometimes. Sometimes it's just groanings. That's Scripture. We don't have the words. But God knows our mind. And the Holy Spirit leads us. And the holy priesthood, who offer up spiritual sacrifices. We don't kill bulls and goats and bunny rabbits or whatever anymore to offer sacrifices. The sacrifice has been made. Jesus came. He lived a perfect sinless life. And He offered up His blood for me. So I don't have to make any sacrifices. The sacrifices have been made. But spiritual sacrifices. And what is spiritual sacrifices? I'm not going to go too deep in this because this this could last a while. So I try to keep things brief here. Prayer. But do you consider prayer a sacrifice? I don't. I think it's a blessing to think that, you know, we can come into the very presence of God and speak with Him. And, you know, there's a part of that that we don't understand, I don't think, biggest part of the time. When we're praying, we need to listen too, because He answers our prayers. Now, sometimes the answer is no, but He answers our prayers. Sometimes He answers not yet. But He answers our prayers. Offer up spiritual sacrifices. Stay away from sin. Don't do this. Don't do that. The things that are bad for us, the things that would hinder our spiritual life. Stay away from that. And then we are acceptable to God because we are such good people. Not hardly. We are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. None other was good enough. And He knew that. Before the foundation of the world. He was ordained. To be our sacrifice. Verse 6. Wherefore. Here we got wherefore again. We had that in verse 1. Wherefore. Also, it is contained in the Scripture. That's why we're supposed to read all the Scripture. It's, you know, we're supposed to read every last bit of it. Now, there's some folks that say, I read through the Scripture once a year. Some folks say twice a year. Some folks three times a year. Yeah, but do you understand it? Do you try to understand it, or do you just read the words? Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, that means look, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. I'll give you one guess who this is going to be talking about. Elect, or ordained, again, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Now, it's contained in the Scripture. Well, Turn to Isaiah 28. And verse 16, if I ever get there. I'm Ecclesiastes. Went too far, Shuri. Sorry about that. Okay. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. I'm about to get there. Yeah, here we go. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Okay, that's what it said in 1 Peter, doesn't it? A tried stone. He's able to do what he says he's going to do. And what did he say he's going to do? He said he's going to build his church on himself. A living stone. A foundation. A stone. A tried stone. A precious stone. Precious cornerstone. Most important stone, right? What are we to be? We're to be stones too, ain't we? Lively stone. Precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. This was all foretold, wasn't it? That's why we need to read all of God's Word. And it will help you to understand. Sometimes you read something in the Old Testament and you read the same thing in the New Testament and you say, oh! And sometimes you read something in the New Testament and then you read it in the Old Testament and you say, oh! The Holy Spirit gives you knowledge and understanding of God's Word, but you got to spend time in it. It's not just going to come to you in a twinkling of an eye or whatever. You got to put some effort in this. We should strive to want to please the Lord. We should strive to want to spend time in His Word. There's a reason for another name for the Lord. Is He's called the Word, right? And He is taught from Genesis 1 to Revelation, whatever it is. I forgot. See? You got to make notes. Anyway. Okay. I'm after 11 already. But anyway, we'll go ahead and stop there. As soon as I get finished making comments on this, we'll end with verse 6. Elect, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The world can't confound you. You know, I'm a child of God. And nothing anybody can say or do can take that away from me. Anyway, y'all stick around. The pastor is going to have a great message, I'm just sure of it.